Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
You turn over to Revelations. We're going to read from the second last chapter of the book under the heading "The New Heaven and the New Earth." "When I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulphur, which is the second death.'"
As we reflect on those readings, Peter is going to come up and share his thoughts with us as God leads him.
Thanks, Leon, and good morning all, and especially for those who are our guests this morning, those visiting with us, and I appreciate that Victor Harbour, being as it is, a bit of a holiday destiny. There are times when we see a number of visitors, and this happens to be one of them. Thanks again, Leon, for your leading this morning, and I appreciate it that for those who are visiting with us, guests this morning, you're perhaps familiar with this whole concept of sort of a harvest Thanksgiving. And I did actually have to go way back to my childhood to picture occasions when I did see it happening here when I was a youngster. And it's got a bit of a similar tone to it. But isn't it a wonderful opportunity that we do have to literally gather physically and then gather things that are of a tangible nature to just acknowledge how the Lord has provided? It's not an abstract concept. It is so much of what we experience on a day-to-day basis. that the author and giver of every good thing has actually placed in the context of our life journey, wonderful things that are of a tangible nature. And then, as we're reminded, that which is of the spiritual nature is something we have to very consciously look out for. And some of those things I'll make reference to in just a little while. But appreciating the opportunity we have in presenting something in the sense of a tangible item that's going to be sustenance for somebody else, and also present our gifts on a daily basis, it does reflect a little bit of what's happening inside of us. It's part of that heart condition that we do have. We are a people who can see where things have come from, good things have come from. We can see that we carry a measure of responsibility with how those good things are experienced and expressed and shared. And then also we begin to appreciate, I'm sure, the fullness of life takes in every dimension of life. So we can give thanks in all varieties. As Leon has reminded us this morning. And I'm particularly conscious of, at this time of Thanksgiving, is to acknowledging being, as it were, a part of the body of Christ. As, again, this man, it's really quite amazing how he, in my opinion, my observation, speaks so prophetically, so clearly of what is God's picture in the whole situation. And that we have this wonderful opportunity to actually consciously, you might like to do it now, I give you permission, you can look sideways, you can, if you like, just adjust your seating and turn around and tell me what you see apart from the hole in the donut. Can you do that? Just turn around and tell me what you see. And I'm sure you'll acknowledge straight away, there's a whole bunch of lovely people surrounding you. You know, some people aren't turning. Feel free. And I've discovered, being a part of the fellowship for 6 months or 7 months, just to really value, every time I look around, I see people that are brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow servants of the gospel, people looking to live out our relationship with Jesus in the context of a community that really does make a even more complete picture of what Jesus looks like in a tangible sense. So I want to take the opportunity this morning give a word of thanks for each and every person who's a part of this gathering this morning, because I'm sure you're connected with other Christian communities, but to particularly acknowledge the fellowship of Victor Harbor Church of Christ and the many of you that I've come to know. Little, some a little more because of serving together, but just acknowledge the gift that you are. The gift that you are into this community, the gift that you are as unto the Lord, and the gift that you are for the purpose of the gospel and the kingdom. I really have, on a personal basis, enjoyed just connecting with the various ministry avenues that happen through the fellowship here. Some of them are internally focused, in the sense of our worship celebrations and our Bible studies and fellowship groups and those types of things. They're great. Others are a bridge into the community, all right ways that happens as well. And there are the things that happen quite intentionally as a way of stepping into the wider community and giving a snapshot of who we are. And of course, I've got places and pictures and locations in my mind because that's what I've experienced. And I just want to say thank you. Just want to say thank you to everybody who's a part of the fellowship here and those who are our guests. Take this as a personal thank you for being a part of the body of Christ as well. Just to say thank you. Something that I hold very, very precious in my relationship with the Lord is the fact that there's a lot of things He does provide for us, a lot of things that are tangible and carryable and all that sort of stuff. The most precious gift that God has ever given has been the gift of a person, and it always will be. That's why He's given us as a gift to each other. To be the body of Christ, to be expression together as something of the identity of Christ in this current age. So I'd like you to stand with me as I just give thanks for who we are in our personal journey and the wonderful opportunity that we have to serve him. Please stand with me. Gracious Lord, I just give you thanks that you have drawn us to this place this morning for the wonderful purpose of celebrating, I suppose in some ways, the close to an end of a certain period of time of 2018. We've come through the season of Advent. We've come through all variety of celebrations that have been a part of that. And Lord, we have this wonderful opportunity again just to gather, as it were, some of those life events and experiences and expressions that allow us to say you're very much a part of our lives, Father. Your Spirit is at work within us. Lord Jesus, you are Lord of all, and we're just enjoying more and more of what it means for you to be Lord of our personal journey, but also Lord of the fellowship that we're a part of and the fellowships that we're a part of. That, Lord, that we would continue to enjoy the working out of our relationship with you, knowing that you have made every provision for us to live to the fullness of your plan and purpose and design for each one of us personally, but also as a community of faith. So, Lord, I just give you thanks. Give you thanks for those who stand, as it were, as a part of this fellowship, and those who walk it out, work it out, serve, uphold the name of Jesus in a whole variety of ways into this city. And Father, we know, as we were reminded just a little while ago, that there is so much more that you have before us. And we look forward, Father, with eyes wide open to behold that which you have prepared for us. And we thank you for that sense of anticipation that we would carry through this season and into the next season that you have for us, that we might truly live to your glory, Father, and give an increasingly beautiful portrayal of the identity of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks again. Oh, that's our theme. That's right. I remember now. Yes, again, for those who are guests this morning, this has been our theme word through the season of Advent. And I must get a set of glasses so as I can see that clock. It's very hard to read from here. For those who are listening, that was a local chuckle. Well, I'm always a little apprehensive about humour in church. But I did think you might like this one. This is called The 12 Days of Christmas. You've heard it before? Well, I'm sure you have. On the first day of Christmas, my true love said to me, all sounds familiar, doesn't it? I'm glad we brought fresh turkey and a proper Christmas tree. On the second day of Christmas, much laughter could be heard as we tucked into our turkey a most delicious bird. The third day, we entertained the people from next door. The turkey tasted just as good as it had the day before. Day four, relations come to stay. Poor Gran is looking old. We finished up the Christmas pud and ate the turkey cold. On the fifth day of Christmas, outside the snowflakes flurried, but we were nice and warm inside. We ate the turkey curried. The sixth day, I must admit, the Christmas spirit died. The children fought and bickered. We ate the turkey rissoles fried. The seventh day of Christmas, my true love, he did wince when he sat down at the table and was offered turkey mince. Day eight, the nerves were getting frayed. The dog had run for shelter. I served up turkey pancakes with a glass of Alka-Seltzer. On day nine, our cat came home. By lunchtime, Dad was blotto. He said he'd have to have another drink to face turkey risotto.
The tenth day, the drink had gone except for our homemade brew. As if that wasn't bad enough, we suffered turkey stew. The 11th day of Christmas, the Christmas tree was molting. The mince pies were as hard as rocks, and the turkey was revolting. The 12th day of Christmas, my true love had a smile upon his lips. The guests had gone, the turkey too, and we dined on fish and chips. There you go. I've got that out. Thank you very much. This, as I mentioned, has been, behold, it's been the term of focus through the Advent season. The Advent described and defined as a season of anticipation, of looking forward to. And as we would most of us readily acknowledge, there are certain, I suppose, anticipated or expected things that we move towards, but we don't always consider the possibility of beholding things that we've never seen before. We do become a people of habit. We become a people who carry traditions as the boundaries of our life experience. When consistently the Lord is saying, I want you to see something, I want you to hear something, I want you to comprehend and experience something that you've not perhaps seen before. And so this term has carried us through that last month or so. A term that basically means seeing something or hearing something. And perhaps it is for the very first time that we see it. It is something that is amazing. Amazing in the sense of outside the boundaries of what I have become familiar with. It is something that has the capacity, as it were, to hold our focus. In order to maybe begin to comprehend what it is that we're actually looking at. And it is a focus that allows us to see more and more detail. It's a picture, or it's beholding something that is going to get bigger and bigger. And it is beholding something, seeing something, that then makes a claim. I don't believe that anything that God does is designed to entertain us. So when he shows us something, we are in that place to behold something, perhaps see something for the first time or whatever, that we actually know that there is going to be a claim, some sort of this interaction is going to make a claim on our lives. Some of these images would possibly look familiar. They are ones that I used through the message times over the last month or so. And indicative, I think, is this term, behold, that appears close to 1,100 times in the scriptures. And it's portraying this constant, I suppose, heart desire of God to actually interact, to actually show people things that they perhaps haven't seen before or that they need to see. And so it is very much an interactive term. It's not just saying, oh, that's a nice picture. It draws a response, as it did for Moses, and that's the illustration in that particular image of Moses shown the burning bush. The purpose of the burning bush was that Moses would begin to engage, as it were, what was a God plan for his life. And here's a man who is in latter years and perhaps a little bit disappointed about the fact, I'll just check with Margie in a moment what it means. The disappointment and maybe feeling like he's left out of the picture as far as anything as possibly as God is concerned. Do I need to check something? Oh, okay. Hand held. That's going to limit hand movement. Okay. It's working out here, is it? It's going in and out. Thanks, Guy. It's going in and out. He's a very adaptable fellow, isn't he? He's not bad at moving furniture either. He sort of takes out the middleman. He just lifts the whole thing on his own. Over there. Just back. Now what do I do? What do I do with this? Take it off. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment, all right? Yeah, I did switch it off. But then... You're right there? It's all part of the presentation. It's a sermon illustration in advance. Is that better? I will compose myself. Make sure that I'm being heard. Is that better? Good. Let's get going. Otherwise, it's going to be after. So in the life of Moses, this beholding was a way in which the Lord got his attention and then began to engage him in a life interaction that prepared him for what was his calling. Now, moving through, and again, just for the purpose of recapturing, in the words of the prophet Jeremiah spoke of a day ahead. Behold, the days are coming when the whole situation is going to change dramatically. And again, we look very, very briefly at the life ministry of Jeremiah. And I just remind you of that here's a man who had the most difficult ministry amongst the people of God to speak prophetically for 40 years. And towards the end of his public ministry, the Lord spoke into his life, and Jeremiah was very familiar with this interaction. Behold, I want to show you something different. I want to show you something new. This is the changing circumstances of these people. Jeremiah, now I want you to speak this. It wasn't just one word for 40 years. It was a different word, different context, different people, different circumstances, and he did it brilliantly. Towards the end of his ministry, he was given a word that we know and perhaps very, very familiar. Behold, the days are coming when the whole picture is going to change, because I'm going to write my law, my ways, my designs, my plans, my purposes, my personal information for individuals. I'm going to write it on their hearts. It's no longer going to be a placard on the wall or stones, whatever it was scribed in, wherever, whatever way it was formed and presented as such. He says, I'm going to write it on their hearts. And I was really interested that day sharing that message of how many people made comment about the fact that they'd heard and sung the beautiful song, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," and you didn't understand what that meant. Not in the sense of understand, but you're still experiencing what that means. And that is so critical in following Jesus, that the heart sensitivity to what God wants for your life is ever on the rise. He's always saying, behold, Peter, I want to show you something. I want you to see this. This is a part of your picture, my picture. This is your place. The very critical aspect of a relationship with the Lord is the fact that we're always seeing new things. We're always seeing something more of what he's doing. And I was again interested, and I'd like to use the illustration again, the comment that I got on that picture. You know, that since Christ came into my life, he organizes the control panel. He's the one who speaks into every scene, every screen, every picture, every location of my life. That's how it works. It's not when I roll up on a Sunday morning and watch, you know, songs of praise for an hour. That's not a relationship with Jesus. That's a random reference point. He's looking at every screen, every dimension of life that I move into. And Jeremiah spoke of that. He said, behold, the day's coming. And this is what the Lord's going to do. And this is what he's done in your life. You've given your life to Christ. Then that's what he's doing. He's watching that control panel, and he's looking to see how much of him, his presence, can be seen in every picture of your life. What a venture that is. People talk about having Christmas all year round. Well, I don't want Christmas all year round. It's too stressful. But I'm quite happy to do Advent all year round because Advent is anticipation. That's what it is. It's not shopping at that mall and then going to that mall and then back to that mall to see, compare prices and get the best value for Auntie Jill who doesn't need it. Well, sorry, Jill. I didn't mean to say Jill. It's just the first name that came to my head. I should have said Auntie Margie. Oh, then I got to live with that. Anyway, you get my point. You know, that there is this Advent that we... And I was just rereading my notes this morning. Sometimes there is a match to what I say and what's in my notes. And I thought, hey, that's why they call them Seventh-day Adventists. Did you know that? Because they carry a very high anticipation. You like that? Adventist. I carry anticipation. Don't you, Leon? He does it all the time. It's good. It's good to see that in each other. I have an anticipation of the Lord saying to me, behold. We moved through the Christmas season. We moved into the events. And I think this was the morning where Clive shared with us. Isn't it good to get the ripples back from ministry that comes within the body of Christ and the number of comments on the ministry that Clive shared with us and the character of Joseph and the nature of the picture. And it's just a blessing to know that that's the way it was meant to be as we operate within the body of Christ. Anyway, with Joseph, the particular message that was given to him related very much to the fact that he was being drawn into the picture, drawn in by association. And clearly he had a role, he had a responsibility, and after a little while he was able to embrace it. It wasn't an instant thing, but he was ready to go with it. Once that picture was shown to him, that he could be a part of what the Lord had in store. And then, of course, we looked at the life of Mary and the behold that came to her. And the way that that particular interaction with God was so... The term to describe what Mary had to work through. And initially her response was, it was so difficult to comprehend. The word is actually she was afraid. What might it be that the Lord's drawing me into? And then as she got the detail, and it wasn't a lengthy amount of detail, but she was prepared, as it were, with that beautiful, humble spirit that had already been fashioned within her. She was prepared to say, as the servant of the Lord, let it be as he has said. If we can connect anticipation with that servant heart and see what the Lord does within us. That's another aspect of Advent, is it's the leading letters that go into adventure. Our relationship with Jesus has a high level of adventure. New places, new faces, new situations, and a building sense of reliance, as it were, dependence, faith in who he is. I would perhaps understand that this was a new dimension for many people. I can really appreciate how Mary had to wrestle with this whole idea of carrying this forming child that would be the Christ. And I'm thinking to myself, good on you, Mary. The Lord's asked me to do exactly the same thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the anticipation of revelation. Christ in you, the real possibility that people will actually catch a glimpse of the living Son of God by catching a glimpse of your life, of my life. Happy to live with that? Can you anticipate what that might mean? See? Christmas Eve. Something that was personally astounding. Well, one of the things that was astounding was the beautiful portrayal of Mary. I think Naomi presented to us. I think a lot of people sort of think, wow, that's powerful. And a brief reference to the shepherds in the field. The shepherds who are just doing their thing. And then the most astounding event that takes place for them. Visually, quite an impact. But what was most powerful and penetrating for them was what the messenger said. And he said to them, "For unto you is born this day." Unto you. The Christ child is all about you. Not in a selfish sense. The whole child event is about you. That is astounding. And it was for the shepherds. Certainly got them motivated in a sense of moving as quickly as possible to see this child 3-4 kilometres away. What a wonderful opportunity they had. And Christmas Day, our final point of reference was this very, very precious personal experience for an older gentleman by the name of Simeon, who carried a very, very high level of anticipation. He had been assured that he would see the Messiah, he would see the Saviour before he graduated, before he finished his earthly journey. And so every time he was regularly at the temple, and every time he went, he carried a sense of anticipation about maybe this would be the day. And it was. And it's a beautiful note in that narrative that perhaps we don't always see, that it made the comment that on this particular day, Simeon came to the temple in the spirit. In other words, the anticipation was a little bit higher because of that beautiful personal ministry of the Holy Spirit said, just in some way prepared Simeon for what he was about to see. And of course, that's his declaration. My eyes have seen the salvation of God. And he made that comment as he looked at this little child, days old. He could see. He could see that this was the one. It's going to do amazing things in the big God plan. We move through a season such as Advent, and it's all good. We're done. So you're right now, we'll all go home. Reminded, it's only 361 days to Christmas. Not that you needed that reminder. But it's probably less than that to the Advent experience. The anticipation in your own heart, in your own soul, that I will hear, behold, many, many times in the days ahead. And that behold will come with my name on it. I won't be waiting for everybody else to do the kingdom stuff. You know, when they get their act together, we'll all be much. The Lord will say, behold, Peter, I want to show you something. I'm absolutely confident of that. Absolutely confident. And I do get excited when the Lord shows me little things to sort of just remind you, Peter, this is how I'm going to do it. Christmas Day, wonderful celebration, beautiful celebration in the morning. Had a lovely lunch with friends, spent some time in the afternoon with part of the family. It was great. And Margie thought it was a good idea. You know, we'd been up for 15 hours. It'd be a great idea to go and visit friends at Malang and stay out until the middle of the night and fall asleep on the couch and then work out our way how to drive home. Well, something like that anyway. We headed off to Malang to have time with friends, just a little catch-up time. And for those who know the road over there, it's a beautiful road to drive, but you have to focus. And we're sort of heading towards the time of day where you've got to watch out for kangaroos. Yeah? Isn't that good? I would have seen... I couldn't believe... Yeah, I'm driving along. I'm focused. I'm on the road. I'm on the right side of the road. That's even better. And I'm driving along that winery track through the back of Finnis, and I'll go the long way round. And there it is, look in the padding, there's a whole bunch of kangaroos just looking at me, saying, "Have a great advent, Peter." So I exchanged greetings and kept driving. Got a little bit further along, and it's something I'd not seen before. You know the kangaroo, the canoe tree? The canoe tree just not far from the creek? I looked at it and a big branch is broken off and half the canoe's gone. I said, "Oh, that's a bit sad. What's that beautiful? That would have been a majestic red gum in its day." You know, just, I really need to focus on driving, don't I? Yeah, but I've got, you know, that little, you know, quick little replay in the head and it works well. I get up to the creek, the Finnis Creek, one of the fords there where you've got to, you know, give way to, possibly, to the person coming from the opposite direction. And I look and there's in the creek, there's Mother Duck with her. She must have had 15 little ducklings with her. I said, "How are you going to look after all of them?" Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful, isn't it? Just the Lord reminding you, "Behold, Peter, you've never seen that before, have you?" Just being reminded of these little things. And think, okay, good. I think I'm catching on to what the preacher was spruiking about for the last month. You know, I've got as much to learn in this space as anybody else has. Anyway, the return trip. It's not finished yet. We're coming back along the same winery road and we look and there's Mother Possum with a hitchhiker on her back just walking across the road. I said, "Come on, dear." "Oh, now you want me to slow down, I suppose." It's just a beautiful little picture. There's Mum across the road. Go. And then I turn into the airfield road where the Gore Airport is. And as I turn, this massive big orange ball, I do look in the rear vision mirror from time to time, and there's this massive big orange red ball. I guess that's the moon. And I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, why do all these little things together?" I take it personally as saying, "Lord, yeah, Peter, just brace yourself. A whole lot of things I need to show you in a short space of time." So that's my sense of anticipation. And I have to say to you, look, I want to encourage you moving into 2000. It's not just another measure of time. It's a wonderful opportunity to have that rising level of anticipation of what the Lord's going to speak into our lives and engage us in and involve us in. That's very much a part of His plan. Now, I mentioned before just how confident I am. We all love the Great Commission. You would have heard it as Pam was reading it. I think it was Pam, wasn't it? You read the other one, didn't you? Good. As Pam was reading it, you say, "Ah, yeah, I've heard this before. It's the Great Commission. I've got to be on my bike and doing this and this." And I think, yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, the whole thing of going and being and doing, that's all part of the picture. But I'm confident because Jesus said that. That's what He said. "Behold, I want you to hear this and see this clear as I am with you always to the end of the age." And so my little mind makes a connection between what happened for Mary and what the Lord has made provision for me. You know, when Mary had this little question, "How's it all going to happen?" And the Lord spoke into her life and said, "You will be overshadowed by the Spirit of God." I get excited about the Great Commission knowing the Lord's going to be with me doing it. It's not me doing it. It's that overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, enabling me to do everything, to be everything, to travel the spaces that he wants me to travel. So I'm confident about that. And the second thing, which comes from that Revelation passage, again, it's the word that appears so frequently spread through the scriptures saying, behold, I want you to see this. And the little one who was the child, the one who was the little child, says at the end of the age, I want you to see this. Totally new. Not a trace of incompleteness. Behold, I make all things new. The person who said that is good to deliver. And the thing that I finish with this morning is something you and I can get excited about and allow to fuel that anticipation tank. This whole thing of being made new is already happening. See, I'm not getting older, I'm getting newer. Did you know that? How many here are getting older? All of us. The better question is, how many of us are getting newer? Because I don't step into heaven and the process of being made new now happens. The moment the Lord steps into my life, that new process begins. And again, my prophetic brother said a little bit earlier, quoting 2 Corinthians 5:17, the new has come. It's happening. The overshadowing ministry of the Holy Spirit says, I will make things new. Yes, the earthly vessel's wearing out. My limit yesterday was carrying 100 pavers. Then I had to take the rest of the day off. There was a day when I could have carried 2,000 pavers. They're long gone. But I'm a newer person. And in Christ, that's what the world wants to see. The newness that he alone can bring. Behold, I want you to see these things, the Lord says. Let's stand. We'll pray together. And Lord, I give you thanks again that as a people gathered, we are able to see and hear things. Many of the things we see and hear, we are already alerted to. Some things this morning have come as reminders, refreshers. But Lord, we just want to open ourselves up to what you want to do by the power of your Spirit at work within each one of us. We want to open ourselves up to those fresh beholds, those things you want us to see, the things you want us to hear, the things you want us to engage, the things you want us to be transformed by, the power of your working in each one of us. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for gathering, for celebration. Thank you for the new things that you have in store for each one of us. Thank you for the confidence that we have. Thank you for the anticipation that is a beautiful expression of the hope that is absolutely clearly defined through every word and every life event that has been made known to us through the testimony of your word and the testimony of the Spirit. And so, Lord Jesus, we do pray, have your way amongst us as your followers, as your learners. Have your way amongst us, and by your Spirit make us to be a people who evidence the fact that you are within us and bringing forward that evidence more and more clearly every day. We seek your blessing, and Holy Spirit, pray that you're working. We would invite and open our eyes to see and engage and live out to the glory of God the Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.